Now, last week, those of you that were here, and it's if you've got one of the programs handy, there's some of the verses on there that we'll I want to use as well. But the very first one on there was that it says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first His kingdom." I was talking on that last week, and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Now, all the things He's talking about is everything that we need, that will be given to you. But first, we've got to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Everything else will come, whether it's clothes, whether it's food, whether it's jobs, it doesn't matter. Everything else will come, all that we require. But first we've got to do is seek His kingdom. Right? And how do we seek it? As mentioned last week, Paul's already in the back, he was praying about it. We have to break up our fallow ground. Right? Fallow ground is that that's not been used for a while, it's not been touched for a while. We need to break up. So we actually have to do something. It won't happen on its own. We have to do something. We have to break up the fallow ground. It's like a farmer this time of year, or a bit earlier, he would be breaking up the ground. He'd be ploughing it. He'd have a big tractor dragging it through, or in Jesus' times it would have been oxen or donkeys pulling the plough and breaking it up, ready to receive the seed. We need to do that for ourselves. We need to break up that fallow ground. And that doesn't mean doing nothing. We don't just wait, because it doesn't happen on its own. There's a time to be still and a time to seek the Lord and wait upon Him, but don't do nothing, basically. We've got to actively seek Him while we wait upon the Lord. And the first thing we need to do is we've got to keep ourselves clean. I've mentioned it last week, and the example was Jesus washed His disciples' feet. He says, "You're clean, but your feet get dirty while you're walking around. So you need to wash your feet. The rest of you is clean." And we are cleaned, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He's done it for us. We know that. He's done it. But we have to wash away whatever we pick up during the time and cleanse ourselves. We've got to repent. Ask for forgiveness. And He will forgive, because He's a good God. But then we've got to forgive as well. We've got to forgive as He forgave us. That's the first thing we've got to do. We've got to cleanse ourselves. Make sure we do that. Every day, whenever we need it, we need that. Second thing we need to do, we've got to dwell in the Word. We really do have to dwell in the Word. I think I mentioned it last week, I'm falling in love with this book over and over and over again. It's wonderful. We've got to stay in there. His word is life. It tells us your word is life. It guides us, it directs us, it counsels us. It's the truth. It gives us hope. It stands forever. It keeps us on the right track, keeps us righteous. Now, we're made righteous through Jesus, not by what we do, but we're made. But it keeps us on that right track. And it brings us peace, it helps to keep us blameless, and it corrects us when it's needed to. So when we go wrong, go back here and you'll be surprised, it can put you back on track. And in the front of this, I've got a handwritten scripture, and it's the 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, which is all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I didn't realise how that would follow me for the rest of my life. When I was given this Bible in 1993, right, January the 17th, 1993, because the date's written in there, so that's how I know. I don't remember it. I didn't realise that scripture in there. I thought, that's nice. But I don't realise just how important it is, how important that all scripture is God-breathed. And it will guide us. It will take us through our life. So if you're going through situations, the Word has the answer. Right? Now, the answer is Jesus, we know that, but the Word has the answer, because he's the Word made flesh. So go back to the Word. Dwell in the Word. Live in the Word. It stay in the Word. Stay connected to it. It helps us keep connected to Him. Okay. Third thing I've written down here, let your hair down, which is easier for some of you to do than me. All right? I did have hair once, dim and distant past, I vaguely remember. I actually had long hair once, before I met Leslie. She seen some pictures and she just tuts at them and walks away. But I had hair, shoulder length hair, I had a fringe that I could chew. And a couple of years ago we went to a birthday party, a 50th birthday party, and it was a 70s themed night. And we got some 70s gear, and I got a wig, and it was a bit like my hair used to be, and a fake moustache down here. I had one of those once many years ago,
I thought, what an idiot I looked. But at the time, I thought it was great. I don't know why I've gone on to that. Anyway, let your hair down. Sometimes you just have to praise God with everything you've got. Right? We need to belt it out. We need to say how good is God. Belt out that goodness of God. Belt out the goodness of Jesus. Belt out the goodness of the Holy Spirit. And what he's done for us. He's done it. He's done the hard bit for us. Jesus has done it. He's been to the cross. He's gone through the cross. We can be washed clean by what he's done for us. And that praise, along with the word, along with being cleansed, helps us to break up that fallow ground. It really does. It gets our hearts ready. Now, there's sometimes I'm at home, and all it needs is to get some praise music on, and I'm changed. I can feel myself breaking up. I can feel my heart being prepared to receive what Jesus has got for me. If I don't do it, then I stay a miserable person. Right? I'm not miserable. I'm actually just the opposite, usually. But as Leslie said last week, I wish you'd tell your face that sometimes. Yeah. I heard it. And the fourth thing we need to do is pray. Lots and lots and lots and lots of prayer. Because it doesn't matter when you're either on your own or we're together. The word tells us to pray continually. Pray on all occasions, in every situation. Present our requests and petitions to God. And we have to do it with the right motive. Not for us. It's not for us. It's not selfish. Not selfish ambition. Or pride. We need to pray in God's will and pray in the Spirit. And we're reminded of that. God's will. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to... Actually, I will do to 22. 16 to 22. It says, be joyful always. It's not easy to do, but we choose to be joyful. Right? Pray continually. Again, not easy to do, but we choose to do it. So wherever you are, you can pray. Right? Whatever you're doing, there's always that prayer that's in your heart. You don't have to be on your knees praying all the time. Right? But you can pray wherever you go, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether you're at home, whether you're cooking, whether you're reading. It doesn't matter. Those little prayers can be ticking over all the time. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. Yeah? Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. So don't go blindly into things. Right? Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. That's the choice. That's the choice we have. Do we take good or do we get rid of evil? Yes is the answer. That's what we should be doing. But otherwise, we've got to avoid it. And we have to put ourselves in situations to avoid it. And it does continue in verses 23 and 24. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. We're being made pure by God. Right? He's sanctifying us through and through. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He is coming back. And it's going to happen. It ends in verse 24. It says, the one who calls you, which is God, is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it. So we need to persist in prayer. And I think the parable we used last week was that unjust judge, not particularly didn't like people, didn't believe in God. But when the widow persisted in bringing her case to him, he gave in because she wouldn't stop. And we're called to pray like that, persist, don't stop, keep on going, keep praying and push through, pray until something happens. Right? The Bible says, knock and the door will be opened, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find. The encouragement there, don't stop. So whatever situations you've got, pray into them. We don't know now how powerful that is, but it is. In Paul's saying, some of it's in the spiritual realm, but we know that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things.
Seek, wait, listen, pray, praise. Right? That's not sitting still doing nothing. You've actually got to be active to do that. But we do have to wait on God. We don't have to push through and do it ourselves. Right? Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. He's God. We don't have to make things happen ourselves. Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Wait for God. He's listening. He hears our prayers. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord. Psalm 135, I've been reading Psalms, by the way. Psalm 135, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. It's there, right? Psalm 33:20, we wait in hope for the Lord, he is our help and shield, in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. And that's just a snippet of the things that it says about waiting for the Lord. It's God's got it in control, and we need to just allow him to be the one that's in control. We've got to wait for him, but within that we've got to be active. Don't do nothing. We've got to seek with all our heart. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's absolutely everything. And Proverbs 16:13, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So if we've got the right motive and we're in God's will, it will succeed. And again, on that one there, if you've got it, the James one, the third scripture down, it says, submit yourselves then to God. That's the first thing we need to do. Submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil. That's the second thing. Avoid evil. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you if you've done the first one. Right? Come near to God and he will come near to you. God is near. God is near. I know that because the word tells me that God is near. Right? And the Spirit lets me know that he's near. Right? Wash your hands. I've been talking about washing feet. Same principle. Get yourself clean. Wash your hands. Okay. You sinners, because we're all sinned, and purify your hearts. Right? You double-minded. Now, we cannot be double-minded. We're either for God or against him. There's no in-between. You can't have a little bit of both. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. We're all or nothing. You go for it. Okay? Because God doesn't want anything that's lukewarm. He doesn't want wishy-washy. He wants people that are for him or against him. And there's no in-between. We think, oh, life's like this and we've got a choice. But when we leave this earth, there's either heaven or hell. Right? There's no in-between. You don't have a little bit of that and a little bit of that. No, no. And we should be the same now. We should be fully committed now. And Psalm 24:3-4 backs this up. It says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, we can cleanse our hands daily. Our hearts, I don't know what people's hearts are like. Right? I've got a bit of an idea. I think all of you here have got good hearts, but I'm fairly certain of it. But God knows our heart. He knows whether how pure it is. He knows what we give to him. Right? So we need to seek actively, not wait passively. So although we're waiting for the Lord, being patient, we're not actually doing nothing. We've actually got to do something. We've got to do things. And in James chapter 2, it talks about faith and deeds. And it says that faith without deeds is dead. So we need to be doing things. We need to be doing things. Deeds is doing things. We're saved by faith. We know that. That's what saves us. Salvation comes through faith. We're justified by faith. But once we're saved, we are transformed. Right? We're changed. And we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Okay? And how do we know what to do? Because I don't know about you. Certainly there's many times I thought, well, yeah, I can pray. But what do I do, God? What physically do you want me to do? And there's lots of things. The main thing is just do good. Right? But we'll get on to that in a moment. Okay? But the word tells us what to do. And the Spirit of God tells us what to do. And the Apostle Peter tells us what to do. So if you turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's in verses 13. It says, be holy. That's what we have to do. Be holy. And it starts off with that word, therefore. Therefore. Now, therefore means because of this. Right? So, because of this, and what it's referring to is, further back in chapter 1, it's because of our salvation. We have a living hope because of we're saved through what Jesus has done for us. And because of this, therefore, it says, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here, that's here on earth, in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God. That's what we call the epiphany, that revelation, that sudden realization. It's through Jesus. Everything's through Jesus. We believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So physically, we're not going to be here forever. Right? But we will be, the word of the Lord stands, and it tells us that we will have a new body, we're a new creation in him. Okay? And this is the word that was preached to you. Be holy, it says. And if we just jump further on in Peter, because this is the Apostle Peter giving strong, sound advice. In 1 Peter 4, it tells us a little bit more. This is that chapter. It's all about living for God. Living for God. And it starts off, therefore, again, that's because of the salvation we have in Christ Jesus. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. That's what we've got to do. Have the same attitude as Jesus. Same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. And Paul's already, when Paul gave thanks for God changing him, this is what's been done. And we're all like that. We're all like that. We all have a different story, but we've all come through from what we were like in the past to what we are like now. But not in us. Right? It's through Christ in us. No longer I, but Christ in me. Okay. We spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing. You say carousing, I say carousing. Right? And detestable idolatry. It's drunken singing, by the way. Carousing. They think it's strange, and I remember this, that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. When I first became a Christian, most of the people I associated with and played sport with, they weren't Christians, and they used to be involved in drunkenness, carousing, and all this sort of thing. And they couldn't understand why I didn't do that anymore. They thought, and they actually turn against you because you're not the same as them anymore. They're different. But we're called to be different. We're called to be holy, which is what holy means. It means set apart. In the Greek, as Andy and Cash will tell you, it's hagiasmos, which means set apart. Okay, and that's what we're called to be, set apart from the world. We're not the same. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. We don't know when, but the end of all things is near. I'm not just talking about Brexit. Right? The end of all things is near. Right? Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. That's what we should be doing. But I don't know about you. I think, oh, I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that. Don't think that. We're not good enough, but Jesus is. One of the biggest pressures the devil will put onto you is thinking, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. But you are. Because of what Jesus has done for us. Because of what Jesus has done. He's conquered sin. He's conquered death. So we are good enough. Because of Jesus. That's what the Apostle Peter says. The Apostle Paul, something quite similar. He supports that. So if you turn with me to Titus. And Titus is written by Paul. It's sent to Titus. And in Titus chapter 2, the subheading is, what must be taught to various groups? And this is what we all need to understand. Between everybody here, we've got a real range of nationalities, ages, different sexes, men, women. They're the only two, none of this transgender. And these are things that should be taught to everybody, it says. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is based on the Bible. If it's not based on the Bible, it's probably not sound. Okay, so we need to base ourselves on sound doctrine. Right? And sound doctrine also should encompass right conduct as well. So it says here, teach the older men to be temperate, as in moderate in terms of temper. Right? It's not the temperate here that means that the temperance society don't drink, although that's included in it, but it means to be moderate. Right? Worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. There's a lot of self-control in there. So we do have our part to play. We have to do our bit. God's done his bit, and he's doing his bit through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. But we have our part. We have that choice to make. So be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. And that sound doctrine covers everybody here. Right? Whether you're older, younger, male, female, the advice is there. Be self-controlled. Right? Love one another. Right? Help each other. Encourage one another. And not through our strength, but through what God gives us. That's what we must be doing. And then in verse 9 it says, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. Now, where it says slaves, I know there is still slavery in the world, and it shouldn't be. And I know slavery was in theory abolished hundreds of years ago. But where it says slaves, you could just put in your work, right? Because in your work, it's the same principle. It says, teach slaves or teach workers to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. We are an example, wherever we go, what we do. And we should be trustworthy in everything that we do, whether at work, whether at home. We should do the right things, be righteous. Right? He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not for our sake. Okay? So teach slaves, but teach the workers to do everything in a way that will make God shine through us. Okay? And then it carries on in verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's for everybody. Right? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope I love this verse. The blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Yeah? Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself, has to be made holy for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's what we have to do. Seek first his kingdom and then be eager to do what is good. These are then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Don't let anyone despise you. Because if you're doing good, you're doing the right thing. We're shining for Jesus. That's all we have to do. It carries on, and chapter 3 of Titus is all about doing good. We need to do good. Right? Verse 1 in chapter 3, it says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good. Now, earlier this week, when there was all this Brexit issue, and you see the government in action, and there's one faction saying this, one saying that, one saying the other, and you think, well, aren't you ever going to come under one head and actually govern this country and do what you've been elected to do? And they're arguing here, and you think, oh, just grow up, will you? Yeah? Because if we're going to leave the European Union, whatever your opinion on that is, it doesn't matter. They need to come together and do it. But all we see, unfortunately, is division, right? But we're called to be subject to rulers and authorities, right? Be subject to them. And it's one of those. We're not anarchists. We don't want disorder, right? We want order to rule, because God wants things to be in order, whether it's in the church, whether it's outside the church. Or else we get into that stage where, in the Old Testament, it says where everybody did what they see fit, everybody does what they want. And that's anarchy. Each did as they saw fit. But we're called not to be like that. We're called to be, as it says there, to slander no one, in verse 2, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. It then continues, it says, at one time, we too were foolish. Before we'd had that realization, before we saw the light, before we came to the cross. Disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Which sounds a bit harsh, but if you think back to what you were like before you were saved, there's elements of that in there. But then in verse 4, the light dawns. It says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we've done, we can't earn it, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. That's the gospel. He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, a washing, rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We're new creations in that situation. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having a hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. Don't forget that. We are adopted into God's family. We are heirs along with Jesus. You think, I can't put myself alongside Jesus. No, but Jesus puts alongside him. There is a difference. We are heirs, co-heirs, having that hope of eternal life. And that's why Blue Monday means nothing to me. It's a waste of space. Yeah, because we've got something far better than that. Far better. Right? And then Paul continues after that. He says, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Devote yourselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everybody. Do you want to do things that are excellent and profitable? I do. Right? And so if I can, I want to do good. Right? Not because of anything else, but because of what Jesus has already done for us. Right? Because of this, therefore, because of this great salvation, I want to do good. I want to praise him, I want to pray to him, but I also want to do good. And then it carries on, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Yeah, I'll come on to that in a minute. Warn a divisive person once and then warn him the second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful and he is self-condemned. It says don't get into arguments over things that are not that important. Right? Sometimes we can agree to differ, nothing wrong with that. As long as we've got the core values, as long as we've got those right, then everything else will fall into place. It covers over a multitude of sins, right? And that's love. And that's what we're called to do. When Jesus was questioned, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, all your soul. Number one. Number two, love your neighbour as yourself. That's exactly the same. Seek the Lord and do good works. Do deeds. Faith and deeds. The message is spread, is all the way through the Bible. It's all the way through Scripture. And it's sound advice. We should seek the Lord. We should do good. We should have faith. We should then progress on to deeds. And then truly we'll be what God wants the church to be. He wants the church to be like Jesus. He wants us to be witnesses for Jesus in all that we do, all that we say. He tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. Right? And we'll do that if we're doing it, seeking God and doing good deeds. Right? Be ambassadors of Christ, the word tells us. Ambassador of Christ. Right? Be ministers of the new covenant. Spread the gospel. That's the purpose of the church. That's what we're here for. We're here to, yes, praise, worship, give thanks to God. Fantastic. Right? But we're also called to seek him with all our heart, all our strength, all our might. And do good. Love your neighbour as yourself. That's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose of the church. And that's the message. It's nothing flash, flamboyant. Right? Seek God, do good. Right? I just want to close. There's a lovely prayer in 1 Peter 5. I want to close with that. So if you turn with your Bibles to 1 Peter 5. Actually, we'll do it from verse 1. Because this applies to everybody. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those who are entrusted to those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking, but he won't get you if you are self-controlled, alert, and stay near to God. Come near to God. Yeah? Submit yourself to God. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Because sometimes when we pray, we don't have to pray our own prayers. There's some good ones in here as well. And they're promises for us as well. And so I would like to close on that one. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So stand firm. He will restore us. He will make you strong. Be firm. Be steadfast. Stand your ground. Do good. But first of all, seek the Lord in everything that you do. Thank you. Amen. Amen.